We learn from these superstars out there so many different lessons about life, about finances, and this guy, for a lot of you boomers, is going to provide some of those lessons here today on Winning with Money. Let's listen in to Damon's conversation with Sammy about life in his 60s, his business interests, his music, too.
Hey, this is Red Rocker Sammy Hagar. Phoenix. I just left Phoenix. You know, I was in Phoenix last weekend.
Tucson, right?
Yeah, I played Tucson, but then people don't know I did a private in Phoenix for the Crescent Crown Group. You know, the beer distributors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have Corona, Miller. They outdid Budweiser last year for the most beer distributed in Arizona. And so they threw a big party and they hired me to play.
That's fun.
Yeah, they're good guys.
One of the things that we have in common is Cabo San Lucas. I've been going there for 20 years.
Wow.
With my wife's extended family, and since it was really small, I was wondering if you could tell me when you started going there and a little bit about your birthday bash that you have down there.
Well, the first time I went to Cabo San Lucas was 1981. Keith Richard had just gotten married in the last year or so of that, and down there, and I saw a picture, and I saw a cactus, an infinity pool, and a cactus on a beach, and I'm going, desert, ocean, I'm there. Where is this place, right? And yeah. So I went down and stayed at the Twin Dolphin, and it became a birthday thing I did every year. I'd take my whole family down there for 10 days, and my mom and my brothers and my sisters, because we're all born in October. And so I started celebrating. Then I decided, I met a guy who took me to town to make a phone calls before there was telephones. So I met the bellman at the Twin Dolphin. He said, oh, I have a car. I said, well, where can I make a phone call? I need to make a phone call. He said, well, I'll take you downtown. So we go dirt road down through arroyos, man, you know, goats and wild horses. And it was unbelievable. And I went and stood in line and paid money and made a phone call. And I said, hey, man, I'd like to build a little tequila bar here, you know. And he said, I'm fine for you. And I said, okay. Then I said, hey, I want a condo. He said, oh, there's only one condo, and it's Terrasol. And they're not ready yet. And I said, well, when they're ready, I'll come to, you know. And next thing I know, I had a place there. I was living. I bought a piece of property, and I was building a cantina. It's like all dirt roads, right? It's like my accountant thought I was crazy. But you know, you've been to Cabo. Back in those days, the most magic place in the world. You know,
Nobody was there, and the beaches were empty, and
totally. I could walk for miles on the beach, not see one footprint. You know, and I could walk down the street in my stage clothes, and nobody would say Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Well, that's fun. One of the, you know, most people know you as an artist, you know, having a career with Montrose and then with Van Halen and then does the Red Rocker and all these other things. But what most people don't know, and it's one of the things that really impressed me as I learned more about you, was what a businessman you are. And it's so funny. Tell me about some of these business ventures. And
it's so funny because now I'm starting to be convinced that maybe I am kind of a business guy, you know, but to me, it's really creative. It's really not business because it's more like an idea and a passion. Like, I never do anything just for money. I think, oh, well, I can make a bunch of money if I go do that, you know. I never think that way. I'm always thinking like Cabo, thinking, well, I love this place, I want to live here, but what am I going to do? I won't have any place to play. Well, I got to go build a place to play, you know what I mean? And it becomes this mega money maker. But I was just lucky, and so my gut and my instincts is I'm always way ahead. I find things. I really like to find things that are undiscovered, you know. And it's kind of like, you ever have that situation where you go see a movie and no one's seen it yet, and it's a great movie, but it's not advertised, it's very underground, and you go around telling all your friends, oh, you got to go see this movie. And then when they go see it, they go, oh my God, that was the greatest movie I've ever seen. And so you turn them on, it makes you feel good. Yeah. You turn them on to a restaurant, you turn them on to a record, you know, an album, some new album nobody knows about, you know. I remember the Black Keys. They used to turn people on the Black Keys. Now they're huge. But at the time, say, hey, man, check. Everybody go, wow, those guys are really good. I love that album, you know. And that's kind of the way I am about my business. I like to find things that can turn people on to and get everybody really excited and make them happy. And it's my passion. Like, I love it. So it's successful. To just be a businessman, the nuts and bolts of business, I'm so dumb. My business partners, they sit there and go, I go, okay, you do that. That's your job, right? Like, you know, you do the nuts and bolts. You do all the saying, well, here's how many cases we can do a year, and here's what we're going to, the margin is going to be, and here's how much we have to price it at. And I kind of get involved in that once in a while now, but it's my instincts is usually when you're looking at the margin of a brand, like my rum, say, what's the margin going to be? You know, I'm going, well, I don't care. Just don't make it too expensive for my fans. You know, that's the kind of businessman I am. So it's like the next thing, the guy goes, well, if you sell it for $30, you know, we're not going to make any money. And I'm going, well, okay, then 31, we'll make a dollar. I don't care. I just want to do it. Yeah. So I'm that kind of a businessman. So I'm really not a good businessman. I think I got good ideas, and I'm very lucky that I find good people to run my businesses and to really do it for me.
So the creativity is what drives you, doing your passion, but you're surrounding yourself by a team of individuals that are helping you do the things you love.
And those individuals, the type of way I do business, my individuals have to be able to spin on a dime, because when I get inspired, I got to go. It's like, no, this is what we're going to do. No. They say, well, let's do some research and let's do some due diligence. It's like, we ain't got time for that. If we wait, somebody's going to beat us to this. We got to do it right now. And I'm one of those guys, and I get wound up and get passionate. I can drive people hard and they like it, you know, because it's passion. It's not like cruelty.
Yeah. But I bet it's taken a lot of years to get to that point where you prepared. And so that now, you know, when you want to run with an idea, when something changes in your life, you're able to do it because you've done, you know, the background work to be able to prepare yourself for this kind of stage of your life of that.
Well, you know, kind of. I mean, the background work has been coming through the back door. I don't have an education. I didn't even graduate from high school. I know a lot of people are shocked at that, but I did not graduate from high school. I was thrown out. I could have, but I was thrown out senior week for throwing a water balloon through a teacher's window and hit him, and I was throwing it at some girl, and it was, you know, and it hit the teacher, and I got thrown out of school, so they wouldn't graduate me, but I never went back and got my diploma. It's all good, but I think I'm kind of like there's educated idiots, and there's uneducated geniuses. I'm a follow on that. I'm on more on that scale, but I think that the quick preparation comes from, I have the confidence now, and I have the means. I can afford to lose some money if it didn't work, you know? And I've learned over the years by my experience, by being right, when I feel something in my gut and I get the goosebumps in my arm, I go, nope, this is right. This is the way it's got to be. I've learned that that's correct. And I go with those instincts. So my confidence has gotten, and my track record has gotten better because I'm listening to the right things through experience. But like I said, it hasn't been through the educational process. The education came from going through the back door. It's just like, you know, I just end up there. You know, people go to school and learn how to read music and play their instruments perfectly and, you know, and can just sit down and take a piece of sheet music and play that concerto perfectly. I could never do that in a million years, but I can create a song out of nothing. And they're sitting there going, well, you got to put it in front of me. I can't just play music for you. I mean, I know people like that, you know, educated musicians. Well, it's kind of the same thing with business. There's guys that go to business school and they learn how to do it. They learn all the nuts and the bolts and the what it's got to be in it. And then they go, well, but we don't have any ideas, you know? So I came through the other way. I came through with the ideas and learned how to do it rather than learn how to do it and then go look for an idea.
Yeah.
To put it in a nutshell.
Well, you're 68 years old, right? And at a stage of life where a lot of people are looking to slow down, you don't seem like you're slowing down at all. Do you ever actually see yourself as retired?
I always joked that I was retired from the day I picked up a guitar. So that was when I was 14. So I guess I've been retired my whole life. And when I read my own book, Red, My Uncensored Life in Rock, the most impressive thing, I mean, I wrote that book, but when you're writing it, you're doing it piece by piece. And when I sat down and read the whole thing, I was exhausted. I said, oh my God, I've worked my whole life and didn't even know it. And that's the statement I still like to use. It's like, I don't see how I could retire. I don't see, I've got too many ideas and too many ambitions. If nothing else, I would just go out and just maybe help people for the rest of my life. Stop making money and stop trying to be more successful. That drives me nuts. I mean, I'm driving myself nuts with that. I drive my wife nuts and my family and everybody around me because I just keep striving for more and more success and taking a good idea and seeing it work. And that's almost a sickness. I even went to therapy for it and said, you know, I want to stop achieving. You know, I've got enough. I don't need any more. So what am I doing? And now I'm just doing all these things and I give all the money away, you know, with my restaurant. So I'm a nut when it comes to that. I would like to chill out a little bit. So I'm trying to turn that into more philanthropy and saying, well, what can I do for other people? And not just give people money, write checks. I mean, go out and do it physically. Go down to these places and help people, you know. So maybe that's what I'll do with my retirement.
Do you find a lot of fulfillment then now in doing some of the things like you do with the children's hospitals or those types of things?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword because I'm so a sensitive person. I have children. I'm so lucky to have healthy children. And I'm going, I go down to these hospitals and I see these children that are terminally ill, and I see them with their parents, and it tears me up. I don't like doing it. I really do not like doing it. I can tell you straight up, I'm too soft. It's too hard of a job for me to go down and visit a kid, make a wish that wants to meet Sammy Hagar, you know, some 9-year-old kid and parents living in the same room. Whew, that's how I got in this business of helping, because once you see that and you go, well, wait a minute, I can help these people, then you have to. It's like, if you never see it, you don't have to do it. You can go through your life having a good time. I love the beach. I'm a happy guy. I like doing nothing and partying. But boy, once you get bitten with that one, you're kind of, you're done, because there's no way you can say, well, I can help them, but I'm not going to. So I see myself doing more and more of that, but it's hard work. I mean, it's like, geez, you know, it's like, that's very, very hard emotionally. I can't even hardly talk about
it. So since you're the baby boomer age and kind of in retirement, what advice, or, you know, our weekly show is directed at retirees and helping them get retired and stay passionate in retirement. What advice would you give them?
Oh, I say you can't really ever use that word retirement. Don't start talking about, well, I'm going to retire, because then you're done, you know, and you'll start getting old. So, you know, you have to keep passionate about things. And I really think the idea is to, the simplest way I can put it is find what you like to do. I don't care if it's planting tomatoes in your garden, go picking those tomatoes and that makes you happy, then go do more of that, because you got to do things that keep you alive and happy. And retirement isn't just stopping. It's really, it's just about changing. Okay, I don't want to work at something I don't want to do anymore. Because if your job is like mine, where you get to go walk out on stage and sing and play for people, that's not work. So you're not going to quit that, are you? You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you don't like your job, well, then okay, yeah, change. But you got to do things, and you got to stay active and stay passionate about life, you know, some kind of way. Otherwise, you're going to get old.
I agree.
Very simple.
100%.
Thanks, Damon. That was great. That was fun.